It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Full-blown summer out there. The raspberries are ripe. They're so, so sweet. How we love them. The boats are out on the lake. Fishing boats and pontoon boats are out there, and people on them singing. You could hear an accordion playing How Great Thou Art here just the other evening. The fireflies are out, the males and the females signaling to each other with flashes of light, which come from the oxidation of the luciferin, which is secreted in their bodies. One of those useless facts that you put away in your brain somewhere for just a moment when you're trying to impress a large number of people. And if you were a male firefly, you could fly up to a female and say, "You know what you're seeing there, babes, is the oxidization of luciferin, which is down there in my rear end." And she would mate with you, and then you would die. So there you are. The girls and the boys of Lake Wobegon are hanging out down at the lake. Whatever hanging out may mean, parents do not know. I guess it means that after you're 18, after you're 17, you shouldn't have to know, or what. But there are discussions about this in the kitchens of Lake Wobegon, and parents lie awake at night. They can hear the voices of their children far away down by the lake. What do you do? Do you stay awake reading a book? Do you wait for them to come home? Do you pray? What are you supposed to pray for? You're just not sure whatsoever. The smell of flowers is everywhere, peonies and roses and lilacs and lilies everywhere. Full moon on Wednesday, and people who were light sleepers woke up and watched it up in the sky. And if you woke up early in the morning and you looked out your window towards McKinley Street, you could see a man in bright pajamas who was stumbling sort of zombie-like down the street, and he stopped in front of Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, and he spoke briefly to the Blessed Virgin, and then he walked on, and thank goodness there's no traffic on Main Street, and so he just stumbled across it. And when Darlene came at 4 o'clock in the morning to open up the Chatterbox Cafe, there he was. He was sitting on the curb in front of the Mercantile when those old mannequins there in the front window in their one-piece bathing suits, and she didn't know what to do about him. She walked over and recognized him, Mr. Snecker. Mr. Snecker. She said, "Mr. Snecker, you better wake up, or you're going to be in trouble." He didn't wake up. He was just sitting there. She called the constables, and she got a recorded announcement. She went on into the cafe. She had to put the coffee on. She had to put the cinnamon rolls into the oven. People would be coming in soon. She walked out there at 5 o'clock, and she shook him by the shoulder. She didn't want to, because he's not a nice man. He's a stinker sometimes, what you might call a sociopath. We would call a stinker. And he opened his eyes, and he said, "Lois, where have you been? Come here. I've been thinking about you." A man in love with you in his sleep at 5 o'clock in the morning. Darlene fled back into the cafe, and she took the cinnamon rolls out of the oven. And when she looked back out, he was gone. The small dramas of a small town. The big 4th of July parade was today. It went off at 12 noon, high noon, with Uncle Sam marching down the street on stilts. Wesley Updike, Mr. Uncle Sam, with his long beard and his red, white, and blue outfit for the, 30th, 40th year, followed by George and Martha and Abe and Susan B. Anthony, and then the honor guard and the kids carrying the banner that says, "Stand by your colors, be true to your school." And the high school marching band comes along in their blue and gold, and they're playing pretty well for kids from our school. We're proud of them. Not too proud, of course. We don't want them to get the big head, but yet. And the drums are rolling in the back, and the clarinets and the flutes are out in front, and the trombones are going, and the tubas are swaying back and forth, and they go along, and then the Farmers Union float comes along, and the 4-H'ers are standing up there and they're singing their song. We raise the crops that make your kids grow tall. Plant in the spring and harvest in the fall. Work late and night and rise at early morn. We grow the corn, we grow the corn. And Bonnie Sue and her tap and baton students go by, and they're all doing a little shuffle going along, and the ocarina band from Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility, Sister Arvon, is directing them, and they're playing Dona Nobis Pacem. And they're playing it pretty well, actually, better than I'm singing it. And the white Impala comes along carrying Senator Kate Torvaldsen, 97 years old, the oldest man in town. He keeps sinking lower and lower in that back seat every year. We could just kind of see his white Panama hat. He was in the Quartermaster Corps in World War II. He folded sheets and pillowcases at Fort Benning and Fort Lee. But as he says, you know, it could have been any one of us called to go into combat overseas. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, it was the luck of the draw. And then the young woman in the American flag dress who was lying on the canvas held by 14 men in Minutemen uniforms, and they take her and they count 1, 2, 3 up in the air, and she flies up in the air. The Betsy Ross blanket toss. They throw her high up in the air, and the FFA precision pitchfork drill team comes down the street, and the squad of 24 women in the gray capes and the gray gowns, whistling the Washington Post march, the Whistling Mothers, they're called, and one of them is beating a bass drum, and they go by in the circus bandwagon with the tigers and the leopards and the camels and the elephants carved on the side, and the band up there on top playing the heck out of Hold That Tiger, and on they go, and the sweat of the horses you can smell, and the hay on their breath and the manure, and Mr. Tops, the human gyro, comes along wheeling along on his wheel, turning and turning and turning. And then Miss Liberty comes in her greenish gown, and she walks by holding her torch up high in the air and her five-pointed star on her head, and the other convertibles and another marching band and a tractor pulling a manure spreader from which small children are throwing caramel candy wrapped in brown paper. Interesting indeed. And then the big wagon pulled by Percherons, and Tibby Markland from the Lutheran Church is sitting there at a Hammond organ, and she's playing God Bless America and Columbia, the gem of the ocean. And all of these songs, and Lutherans are standing around her and singing, and people along the way are singing. This magnificent wagon pulled by a 16-horse hitch of Percherons, one teamster with his hand on the brake and the other teamster with the reins wound around his arms up to the forearms. It's just magnificent. And she tosses in extra songs, and she tosses in a little bit of Brown-Eyed Girl, and the crowd all joins. Do you remember when we used to sing? Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. They all sing. They all sing. It was a great parade, and it was a very nice touch, the caramel candy thrown from the manure spreader. We all like that. Whose idea was that? We're not really sure. Just wonderful. And the old circus wagons, always a hit. The 16-horse Percheron hitch was beautiful. Dona Nobis Pacem sounded much more together this year, and Betsy Ross was tossed higher, and the Whistling Mothers did the Washington Post really, 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 really well. It was almost as if they had rehearsed or something, unthinkable as that may be. And the pitchfork precision team was even more precise than ever. The only disappointment, really, and of course nobody would say this, was that if you're old enough, you remember the year that Miss Liberty marched in her green gown holding her torch high, and she accidentally walked up the inside of her dress. She walked up the inside of her dress, and it was torn from her body. And there she stood in a red bra and red panties, and she did not stop. She picked up that green gown and she put it over her left arm. She did not let the loss of a costume interfere with her duty, which was to execute the role of the Statue of Liberty. She marched on. That was the remarkable thing that people remember. Not that she was there in her underwear. But the fact that she never gave a hint that she was ashamed. What an amazing, who was that woman? We can't remember. Was it Serena? Was it Lorraine? Was it Sina? Who was it? We just don't know. But the memory of the sight of her in her underwear marching up the street with pride. With pride, people, is what we all remember who were there. She was somebody's niece. I forget who. No, it was beautiful. Then we all went off for the living flag. There, 800 people in formation there on Main Street, up below the central building. 800 people on a warm day today standing there with their enormous red, white, and blue caps, forming with their heads the red and the white stripes and the blue field of stars up in the corner. Some people hate this part of the 4th of July. They do it out of a sense of obligation. They just hate it, standing so close to other people, and we're all perspiring. And it's warm out, and it takes forever. And the man up on the roof of the central building is yelling at you through a mic, come on, people, pull in. Come on, she's not going to bite. Come on, move in close together. It just takes forever. And you stand there, and you think, what if our clothes all fell off us at this very moment? 800 people standing there, and our clothes dropped to the street as the robe fell off Miss Liberty all those years ago. And we stood here naked, 800 people together. That could only mean one thing. It would mean the second coming. It would mean the Lord was up in the clouds. And then what if all 800 rose still with the red, white, and blue caps on our heads? It would mean that not only Protestants go to heaven, Catholics do too, and Baptists and Methodists, and Jews, there are Jews in Lake Wobegon, or as we say in Minnesota, Jewish people, Tibby Markland, the organist in the Lutheran Church, is Jewish, Barry Halper, his dad had a dairy farm, he went into sold dry goods, and he moved away and went into comedy, but sometimes he comes back, you know, for the 4th of July, and there he is in the ranks of the living flag, rising up, all of us rising up into heaven. What a beautiful thing, standing there, and standing, and waiting, all pressed in close together in the sun while they get the camera out to take the picture, and it's only black and white. It's an amazing moment in Lake Wobegon, standing there in the living flag, very close to people you barely know, and there you are, cheek to jowl. You're a nobody. You're just a molecule in the great mass. You're just a grain of sand there on the beach. You're so insignificant. And it's a beautiful thing in Lake Wobegon. Lake Wobegon is very good about that, that Scandinavian self-mortification. Dusk igator et du er noet, the Yentalo. You should not think that you are somebody. All around us, people who are empowering themselves and who are advocating for themselves and who have stories to tell and dreaming big dreams and so on. And what a relief not to do that and be nobody, to stand there in the midst of everybody and to be nobody and feel this great pleasure of anonymity. That's why we go to New York. It's why we go to London. It's to be anonymous, to be nobody, which is the truth of life. Everybody has a story. Everybody has a point of view. You know, everybody has wisdom to pass on. But everybody enjoys shutting up now and then and just be part of the whole. It's a great country. It's a great country, more good than bad. Be proud. Work to improve it. The women are strong in America. The men are all good looking. And the children, every one of them, is above average. God bless America.